This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. What happens to U.S. military detainees once they are released? Reporters for McClatchy News spent 8 months tracking down 66 men released from Guantanamo. They tell us how they got the story and what they learned. That's tomorrow when Talk of the Nation broadcasts from the museum. And now, after 91 holes of golf over 5 days, Tiger Woods did it. He won the U.S. Open for the third time. It was a dramatic victory, to say the least. From the beginning, the odds were against Tiger Woods. He was recovering from recent knee surgery, and some people thought his injury might do him in. Detroit Free Press columnist Carlos Manarez was one of them. Last week, he wrote, "Tiger Woods has no chance of winning the U.S. Open." Today, his column was headlined, "Oops, turns out Woods did have a chance to win." Carlos Manarez joins us by phone from Detroit to eat his words. Welcome to the show, Carlos.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm good. And we also want to hear from you, the listener. Did you watch the game? And be honest, was there a point when you doubted Tiger Woods? Give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog. It's npr.org/blogofthenation. All right, Carlos, you not only said Tiger wouldn't win, you said he might not make the cutoff. What were you thinking?
Well, I was foolish enough to base my reasoning on the fact that he just had knee surgery and had not played around the golf since the last round of the Masters in April. And in fact, he had not walked 18 holes before his first round on Thursday. So if you know anything about the U.S. Open, you know it's the world's hardest golf course and test of golf. It's brutal. The rough is about as thick as a jungle. And to think that Tiger Woods, or any golfer for that matter, could just step onto that grand stage with all that pressure and perform that well was pretty inconceivable to me at the time.
But we know so much about how this guy seems to, you know, just be able to clear his mind. I mean, he's able to play such a mental game and just overcome so much. I guess you're never going to want to bet against him again, I would think.
No, you know what, and Lynn, I'll tell you one thing. When I wrote that column, I thought it's going to take one of the monumental efforts in Tiger Woods' storied career. As great as he's been, as amazing as he's been over the years, it would take a Herculean effort to get this done. And I mean, Lazarus would have stood up and clapped for this guy for what he did. It was amazing that he hadn't played golf. Didn't really know what he was going to bring to the course as far as shot-making ability and the endurance of walking. It's a long course. It's 7,600 yards to do that for 4 days in different kinds of weather conditions. And he said at the end of the day, on Sunday, he said this was probably his second most impressive victory in his career behind winning the Masters the first time as basically a kid in 1997.
Yeah. Now, you received a few hundred emails, I think, as a result of this. And in your column today, you quote from some of them. Here's one from a guy named Len. Here's what Len has to say. "Tiger showed how much you know about golf. Now show you're a man and eat crow in print." Whoa. So what did you do?
it's a full course of crow for the main course and humble pie for dessert. It's been all the way. That's exactly what the emails have been, Lynn. It's been, you know, a couple hundred probably at this point. And you know what? That's great because, you know, it shows how much people care about the sport, how much they care about Tiger Woods. I love watching Tiger Woods play golf. I mean, he is amazing. The things he does on the course and certainly his mental fortitude that he's just proved over and over again that you can never, never underestimate how strong he is.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the couple of the game on Sunday. Let's talk about what happened on Sunday because he was behind on Sunday and had some pretty bad shots. He was really in the rough, and then I think he ended up, in a sand trap at one point. What was going through your mind as you were watching him? Did you think he was really going to be able to pull it out? He only had to do it by one, I know, I think. But did you think he was going to do it?
Well, you know, it's funny. Golf is a strange game. I play the game myself, and, you know, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. It can change so dramatically, so quickly. When Phil Mickelson was a great example of that. In one of the rounds, he made a 9, a quadruple bogey on a par 5, and his chances evaporated. And you want to figure that Tiger Woods is strong enough to hold it together, but he's also human. You know, I think he would even admit that maybe. So, you know, it can go very quickly, and certainly when you're dealing with the pain and the, you know, the little things that bother you when you're playing a sport that just change the way, the dynamics of how you swing and how you play, how you think. He could have a very bad hole, and it could all go quickly. He was leading for a while. He was leading, I think, by three shots at one point over Rocco Mediate, and then he was trailing, and then he ended up leading at the very end, which is when it mattered, you know, on the 19th playoff hole.
Let's talk a little bit about Rocco Mediate, because I mean, what an experience this had to be for him. You know, obviously, I'm sure he's not happy that he didn't win, but this had to be, you know, the tournament of his lifetime, and to get this chance to, you know, play this one-on-one with Tiger Woods in the final playoff there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and he handled it beautifully. Rocco's always been a very amiable person, very affable, fun-loving. We have a tournament here in near Flint, Michigan, the Buick Open. Tiger Woods actually plays most of the time, and Rocco Mediate plays most of the time, and Rocco's won in the past. And he's always very gregarious and just really enjoys, you know, there's a cliche about, you know, you got to have fun when you're playing sports. Well, Rocco does. I mean, he really enjoys it. He really appreciates it. He's had a lot of back injuries over the years, and he's 45 years old. He knows he's toward the end of his career, and he's going to appreciate and love every minute that he can get out of it. And a funny little story, quick aside, is last year, he's from the Pittsburgh area, and last year the U.S. Open was held at Oakmont outside of Pittsburgh. And he was actually there one of the days before the tournament. I got to play on a private golf course there. I was invited, and Rocco's brother happened to be a member, and there was a little rain delay. We go in a little clubhouse, and wouldn't you know, Rocco's sitting there playing poker. He's a very accomplished poker player, having fun and telling stories, and it's just a testament. He's not a fake. He's fun on the course, off the course. He just enjoys his life and experiences.
We're talking with Carlos Manarez. He's a columnist for the Detroit Free Press, and he predicted that Tiger Woods did not have a chance to win the U.S. Open. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 800-989-8255, and we're going to take a call now from Jay, and Jay is calling from Georgia. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm very good. Listen, I enjoyed every minute of that game, of that match yesterday. I couldn't believe Tiger actually pulled it off. I'm a huge fan of Tiger's, and I've always liked Rocco, and I was hoping that Rocco would pull it off, but he couldn't do it.
It would have been a pretty amazing win for Rocco, wouldn't it?
it would have. And I wanted, you know, if I could tell Rocco something, I would say that Tiger's knee didn't seem to bother him as much as one might think, because there were 100 and some odd other golfers who didn't show up on Monday.
Yeah.
Tiger was playing pretty well.
He was playing pretty well, but I think Rocco gave him a run for his money right there to the bitter end, huh?
Rocco did virtually everything right.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
I was just going to say he made a couple of mistakes, but they weren't rookie mistakes. They were just things that any of us might have done, chunking a chip here or there, and he just played a marvelous match, and so did Tiger. It was great.
Yeah, a great match. Okay, great. Thanks for calling us, Jay.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a call now from Josh, who is calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Lynn. I just wanted to comment about what I think is a myth about the injured athlete. It seems like whenever somebody's down with the flu or has got an injury they're coming off of, they have the game of their life. So every time they mention the knee, my eyes just rolled, and I just thought, oh, you know, he's going to have the game of his life, and he did.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, it was painful to watch. I'm probably one of the only people that I know that didn't really want Tiger to get it this time.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, he's the Goliath. I wanted to see David take him down, but...
Yeah, you know, no, I think that Rocco, as I understand it, I didn't see it Monday. I saw a fair amount of it on Sunday, but I understand on Monday he had a lot of fans out there along with the Tiger fans.
That's great. And I shouldn't say too much to that because golf, you're really playing against yourself and, you know, you can't really cheat. So nothing to take away from the guy, but he's been golfing his whole life. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for your call, Josh.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. And now we're going to go to Francie, and Francie is calling from Portland, Oregon. Hi, Francie.
Hi. I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan, and I was well aware watching on Monday of his record when he maintains the 54-hole lead, having never lost a lead. He's 13-0 or something like that. And I thought, given his knee injury and given sort of the affable, likable nature of Rocco Mediate, that this would be the one time where I would feel okay with him losing that record, and it would sort of, we would all just sort of get it over with and not have this build up to these 54-hole lead situations. And so I was preparing for him to lose, and I kept preparing for him to lose, and then when he won, I just couldn't believe it. I about fell out of my skin. So I guess the tension will sort of carry into the next major if he makes it to the British Open. So
yeah. Actually, they're actually saying I don't know, Carlos. Are they saying is he possibly not going to go to the British Open or?
No, he would cut his leg off and you know swim across the ocean to get to the British Open. The majors are all he cares about. The question is, he's scheduled to play next week here in the Buick Open in Michigan, and then 2 weeks after that he has his own tournament in the Washington area, the AT&T National. Those are question marks. I think the wise call is that he shuts it down until the British Open in July. And the other question we had yesterday for him after he won was, did you possibly injure this knee more? Could you have hurt it more by playing this week? And he just gave us his little impish kind of smile and nodded, and he wouldn't say anything about it. No one but him and his doctor know how much damage he could have done to it. So my question is, should he even have played this week? I mean, if he's doing serious long-term damage to his knee for winning one major, when you know that he has several majors, I mean, he's easily going to catch Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 majors. Why risk it all for one? I hope that's not the case. But I think he's smart enough to know that, you know, what the risk potential was. So my guess is we're not going to see him until the British Open in July.
Okay. All right. Francie, thanks so much for your call. And let me remind everyone that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Okay, we're going to go to another call. This is Nick is on the line. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say, first of all, you know, I wanted to congratulate Rocco because he did a great job fighting in there, hanging in there with Tiger. But my main comment is that, first of all, you should never, everybody should always know, never, ever, ever count Tiger Woods up. Can't believe it's. It's a long shot to guess that. And if you're right, you look like a star. But it really doesn't make much sense to count Tiger out. I'm obviously a big fan, and I think that what sums it up is the commercial that ran with Tiger's dad talking, and his dad says he taught Tiger when he was little that he would never meet a competitor that had a tougher mentality than him. And then he goes on to say, and he never has. And he never will. And I think that sums it all up.
All right. Thanks for your call, Nick. So, Carlos, are you going to take that advice? Never, ever, 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 ever count Tiger Woods out again?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When I did count him out before, and I was right, at Winged Foot at the 2006 U.S. Open, his father had just died, and he had a similar layoff a couple months, I believe. And I didn't write anything then because I felt that it really wasn't appropriate to essentially, you know, kick somebody while they were down, recovering from such a tough personal loss. But I think that was sort of the consensus among reporters at the time was there's no way that this guy hasn't picked up a club, hasn't wanted to pick up a club, because every time he did, it reminded him of the lessons he learned with his dad, his first teacher. Sure enough, he missed the cut. It was the first time he missed the cut in a major. And, you know, it was hardly a surprise at the time. And you know, again, I think it proves that small little thread of a possibility that Tiger's possibly human. I don't know if we really want to think of that or want to consider it, but there's a strong possibility out there that he is human. But absolutely, all credit to Tiger for this one, for what he did physically and mentally to win this tournament. Amazing. I mean, it'll go down as one of the all-time sports moments in history.
Yeah. Let's go now to Jeff. He's calling from Buford, South Carolina. Hi, Jeff. Jeff, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I just wanted to follow up on the previous caller. I think the importance of it being Father's Day weekend and Tiger's relationship with his dad and now his status of being a father himself coupled with his mental toughness, absolutely led to his win. I watched all of it. It was an amazing win. He's an amazing athlete. It was just a great win for Tiger.
Great. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
I was wondering, Carlos, you were just saying this is going to be one of the great sports moments ever. I mean, was this really one of the greatest tournaments ever? Maybe the greatest? I don't know. I don't know enough about golf. Where does it fit in historically?
Historically, it doesn't. It registers only in so much that it was a personal triumph for Tiger to come back through the adversity of his physical ailment. And the thing about it is we don't really know exactly what happened with his knee. I mean, as we understand, probably they cleaned out some cartilage that he had floating around there in his left knee. It certainly wasn't Ben Hogan returning from, you know, a head-on collision with a bus and almost being told he wasn't going to walk again and coming back and winning a major, I believe, in 1953. And it's also, I mean, when you think about Tiger, and, you know, we asked him yesterday to kind of place it in history, and even just in his own career, the 1997 Masters was pretty much the touchstone victory for him, winning the 2000 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach by, I believe, 15 strokes. That was definitely, you know, one of the all-time impressive accomplishments in his career. This one, I think one of the reasons a lot of people gave him a chance was because he's won at Torrey Pines so often on the PGA Tour. I believe it's been six times, and he sort of owns the course. Even though it was changed quite a bit for this tournament, he's so familiar and comfortable with it, he just kind of had to relearn some of the lines on the, you know, for putting on the greens and sort of the shapes of the fairways and the rough and such, but he knows the course, and that really, I think, helped him in this case.
And the other thing I liked about this is the photographs today in the front pages of all the newspapers showed both of them smiling. They both had a good time at this tournament.
Absolutely, you know, and you know, as much as reporters, you know, don't like Monday morning playoffs after being at a course for a tournament for 7 days. This was great. I mean,
Carlos, I got to go.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Carlos Menares is a columnist for the Detroit Free Press, and he joined us by phone from Detroit. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.